Like I say, good morning to everyone. We're very thankful this morning to be able to join in on this services. We appreciate everyone being on the call, especially those who are not members of the Church of Christ or not members of the Hollow Heights congregation as well. I want to welcome each of you to the call. If you're visiting and you're visiting as a guest of someone who invited you to hear the gospel, we want you to know that we believe in the Church of Christ that the Bible is right and every word of the Bible is right, that Jesus did die on Calvary with nails in his hands and his feet. And there he suffered for the world and shed his blood and washed his sins away in baptism. That same blood purchased his church. The only church you read about in the Bible, that is the Church of Christ. Thank you for joining us. Pray you have not been born again of the water and of the Spirit, not a member of the Lord's church, that you will do that today. We're in obedience to the gospel for his everlasting eternally. Too late. To those who may be joining us, have fallen by the wayside. You have left the Lord. Are you a member of the church? You've fallen short of the glory of God. We pray you repent and come home, confessing your fault, as the Bible has commanded. All right. Continuing our study of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4 this morning. Hope you're enjoying so far the study of the book of Hebrews. As I've said, this book is given to us from God. We know that. The author is not specifically identified from the Bible. Some believe it is Paul, but I just leave it at it came from God. I think that's the safest thing to do. This letter is written to the Hebrew Christians. And we've looked at chapter 1, 2, and 3 so far, and now chapter 4. This morning lesson is entitled, "The Word Preached Did Not Profit Them." The Word Preached Did Not Profit Them. Verse 1. Hebrew writer says, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." He said, "Let us therefore fear." Fear what? Let's go back to chapter 3 and recap there in verse number 12. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. He just talked about this in the book in chapter 3. And then in chapter 4, he enters into us a warning. And chapter 3, verse 12, he says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you." He's talking to the brethren, that's us as well. "An evil heart of unbelief." That's the problem right there. I talked about that last week. It was an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. "But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Or we are made partakers of Christ, if, conditional, we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation. For some, when they heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses." Verse 17, "But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness?" So I talked about this in the last sermon. You can go back and listen to that whole sermon. But who was it that grieved God? Here's the answer, verse number 18. "To whom swear he that he should not enter, they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not." Who did God swear would not enter in the promised land of rest, Canaan land? It is those. The answer is verse 19. So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. This goes back to the Old Testament. The children of Israel, they were, you can go back and read this. And they more murmured and they did not want to obey God. And Moses got upset and hit the rock. He was supposed to speak to it. The people was murmuring. God said all of them would die in the wilderness, exception of those who are 20 years and older would die out there. They would not make it to the promised land. And even Moses did not get to go. He was able to see, but he wasn't able to go to it. But this is the emphasis here, is the problem for the children of Israel is going to be the same, is the same problem we're going to have today. And keeping this simple is unbelief. So when you go back to chapter 4, the Bible says there in verse 1, again, "Let us therefore fear." Now, this is us. It's us here as Christians, members, baptized believers, members of the Church of Christ. Hebrew Christians at that time were members of the one body, the one church, the Church of Christ, just like those who are saved today will be members of that one church. Now God has promised us, Christians, a rest. But in the Hebrew writer says, take heed, lest you come short of it. Now this rest, we're talking about, simply put, that one day we'll rest from our labors on this earth. And we'll be able to get to heaven. That's the place of rest. That's the gist of this discussion. At the end of the day, we're trying to get to heaven, an eternal rest. But let's learn about this rest. And verse number 2, he said, for unto us, again, that's Christians, was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, talking about those in the wilderness with Moses, those who were more memory. But the word preached did not profit them. There's my sermon title right there. Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So what's preached to us? The gospel specifically. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 5, what was preached to us came from the word of God. And specifically what's preached today, that wasn't preached then, is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Jesus had not died. So Paul talked about that in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Jesus gave command after his resurrection to go into the world and preach the gospel. So the gospel included in the Bible, the good news. And Moses taught the children of Israel from the word of God. And he delivered them from Egyptian bondage to the land of promise. But when he preached the word of God to them, it did not profit them. It did not profit them. This is very important to understand that the word of God has to benefit, has to profit. It can profit you only if you believe it. If a person do not believe the Bible, the word of God will not benefit you. It will not profit you. It will not be useful. It will not be to your advantage. And that's what that word means, profit. So here we are. Here we are. It's going to come down to this, y'all. If a person, doesn't matter if they're members of the Church of Christ or not, if a person don't believe the Bible, all of the Word of God, they're going to lose their souls. Why? He said, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now, faith coming by hearing, Romans 10, 17, hearing by the Word of God. Now, why did the Word of God not profit them then, and why will it not profit us now? If you don't believe, if it's not mixed with faith, you could hear the word of God, but don't mix a belief with it. See, you got to believe what you hear. That's what faith is. Faith is substance thing hope for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We walk by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. We believe what we read. And what are we reading this morning? What am I preaching from this morning? The word of God. But the Hebrew writer said the word preached back then, when Moses were preaching what God told them to do, it didn't benefit them because they didn't believe it. Now, this is what's going to happen today. We preach the word. Men don't obey, or men and women question it. Men and women will ignore it. It will not profit them. And I often say this to all of us. When you are trying to teach someone the truth, understand this. No matter how much you want them to be saved, no matter how much you love them, that person, that man or woman cannot be saved unless they believe the Bible. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, listen to him now, it is impossible to please God. It's impossible to save a person who don't believe in the Bible. And I know, we want everyone to be saved. We want everyone to be saved, certainly do. We want to be saved ourselves. But let's just look in the mirror at individuals. You don't have to look at the world. Just look at yourself. Are there portions of the Bible that you don't believe in? I mean, perhaps there's something that you say, well, yeah, I know the Bible says there's one church, but there are good people in our church. I know that's what that sounds real good. That's unbelief. when a person cannot believe in the one God, you know, we all serve a higher supreme being, you know. You know, someone serves Muhammad, someone else serves Allah, someone else serves Jehovah, someone serves Jesus, some serve Buddha. Now, when we use this book called the Bible, this book we consider the Word of God, which includes oneness, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one church, one God and Father of all. You can only believe in one God. If you believe there's something other than this, then your faith, your belief is not mixed. Your faith or belief is not mixed with the Word of God. They have to gel together. You have to believe what you read. The Bible, and I often say this, the Bible is right in every word of it. Every word of it. Just down to whosoever name was not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's cast in the lake of fire. That's true too. All liars. See, we start looking at sin, it still says all liars. We found their place there. A second death. So you got to believe a liar. You can't go to heaven. You got to believe anyone who committed sins. You can't go to heaven. We're going to see that in this text. But if you don't believe it, take heed. Take heed. The Hebrew writer says, anyone who don't, the word of God, don't believe the word of God, preach the word of God, it will not profit you. The brothers and sisters in the church, we got to believe that too. We got to believe that everything that the Bible says is right, and we must believe it and obey it. Listen to the verse 3. For we which have believed, do enter into rest. Let's just stop right there. Hebrew writes that only those who believe will enter into rest. Now, a denomination, friend, would say, see, all I got to do is believe right here. There you go. See, your faith must be mixed with the Word of God. Not some of it. So you can take this one verse and say, all we got to do is believe. No. You got to read all about it. There's more to it than just believing. You got to be obedient to what it says. No sense in baptizing someone who says all I got to do is believe, because that person, the Word of God does not profit them. Simply put, Jesus commanded, Mark 16:15-16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, he that believe it, and watch this, and is baptized, shall be saved. So you got to believe and baptize in a conjunction there. You got to do both. But a person who don't believe is condemned already. He that believe it not shall be damned. That's what Jesus said in verse 16. Now, in John 3:16, the golden text for so many to go to. In verse 16, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoso believeth, there it is, start in continuation. ETH means start believing and keep believing. Should not perish, not shall not. Meaning put shall right there. That's not true. You should not perish, but have everlasting life. But God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Now, watch verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. See, this unbelief, a person who do not believe is condemned already. Listen, go back to verse 4, verse 3 now. For we which have believed, believers, do enter to rest. And as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, this is back when he was upset with Israel, back in the wilderness, if they shall enter to my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, just like God did his work of creation in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. He has promised those of us who work for him in this life a rest. Those who labor in this life a rest. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his work. Now this is found in Genesis 2 and verse 2 and 3. Genesis 2, verse 2 and 3. The Bible says that on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. And God blessed, verse 3, the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work, which God created and made. This is what the Hebrew writer just said. Now, in verse 5 of Hebrews 4, the Bible says, in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, conditional if, seeing therefore it remained that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached, enter not in, underline it, because of unbelief. The people under the Old Testament, back when Moses was preaching to them, those people didn't get to go to the promised land because they did not believe. It was because of unbelief, which means the word of God that was preached to them did not profit them, benefit them. There was no advantage to it because they didn't believe it. This makes it real clear. You don't have to be a Bible scholar to get this simple teaching that's coming out of Hebrews 4 here. You don't have to be a scholar of the Old Testament, know all the detail. You can know this much, that the people didn't get to go to Canaan land, had problem with beliefs, with their belief system, with God. They had seen a whole lot of things that God had done through miracles and all that. You can go back over there and read it. But the problem they had is that they didn't believe what God said to them. And that's what's going on tonight. Well, it doesn't surprise me that the Bible said few people are going to go to heaven. Jesus said in Matthew 7:13, it's a sad thought. He said, enter ye into the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many will go that way. But straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to life, and he said, few that be that find it. The people that are going to be lost in the church and out of the church will be people who didn't believe. They didn't have a 100% belief system in the Bible, the Word of God. So back to Hebrew, verse 7. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Now, the heart is where the Bible goes into your mind when you read it. But David warned, back in Psalms 95th division, this is what it's quoted from, verse 7 through 11. Psalms 95th division, verse 7 through 11. Let's go read that. But David said, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Now, let's give an example. As in the provocation, as in the day of the temptation in the wilderness, back to Moses and him, David's talking about it. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my word. God said, they tempted me, proved me, they saw everything I've done. He delivered them from Egyptian bondage. In the Bible, David records what the Lord said, 40 years long I was grieved with this generation and said it is a people that do err, notice where, in their hearts, for they have not known my ways. Watch this now, verse 11. God says, unto whom I swear in my wrath, they should not enter into my rest. See, God swore that they would not enter into his rest. Now, one thing you ain't got hand on is this. If God swear and make a promise, you can hang your hand on that one. And ask Moses. God told Moses to speak to the rock to get them people water. They were complaining. They wanted water. He went to God. This is Numbers chapter 20 over there. You got to read all of that chapter 20. You start reading about all this that happened over there. But Moses disobeyed. Moses got so frustrated with those people complaining and murmuring after all God had done for him, and he approached God for mercy on these people. And these people were still murmuring, complaining. Moses was so frustrated that he didn't even follow the command of God. God told him to speak to that rock. and he smote it. Numbers 20:11, the Bible, chapter 20, Numbers chapter 20, verse 11. You can read all of it, but I'm going to just do verse 11 here. And Moses lifted up his hand with his rod. He smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly. And the congregation drank, and their beast also. They got water now. And verse 12 said, and the Lord spake unto Moses, because you believe me not. Boy, Moses got in trouble on this. Because you believe me not. Notice what God punishes him. And Moses and Aaron, to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation to the land without giving me. God told Moses, you're not going to get to take them to land because you didn't do what I told you to do. Moses had approached God. God told him to take and speak to the rock. Verse 8 of Numbers 20, take the rod, gather the assembly together, thou and Aaron, thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes. And it shall give forth water. See that? God told Moses, you speak to that rock so the children of Israel can see. And it shall give forth water. And thou shalt bring forth them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation their beast to drink. And Moses took the rod before the Lord as he commanded him. He took the rod, but he didn't speak. He said, boy, that's a simple thing. Just like today. If God say baptism is essential, baptism saves, and you don't get baptized, you don't get to go to the promised land because you didn't believe. This is what this is a comparison he's making. That God is going to keep his word. God is going to keep his promises. He kept his word. If you go to Deuteronomy 33 and 34, you'll see that in verse 4, 34, Deuteronomy 34, 4, the Lord said unto him, this is land which I swear unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give you it unto that seed. I have caused thee to see it with thy eyes. He told Moses, but thou shalt not go over there. In verse 35, says, Moses died right there in the land of Moab. So God, when God says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. Moses couldn't get out of there. You would not get to take them over there. Now, the Hebrew writer is teaching us, and this is the application we got to make today for us. Even to us today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. And you know what? I can understand the frustration that Moses must have felt after God had done so much for them people, and for them to be murmuring and complaining. But no matter how bad the people are acting, we have to still do what the Lord has said do. So don't get so frustrated with what other people are doing in the Lord's church. Or other people are doing who call themselves Christians. You're so frustrated with that you allow them to frustrate you to the point where you're not obeying God yourself. That's what we should learn from most, especially those of us who are in leadership. Those of us who are responsible to preach the word, we too must be obedient to that word and not be sidetracked by those who are being disobedient to the word. The day you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Receive God's word with meekness, James 1:21, and is able to save your soul. Look back to Hebrews chapter 4 again. In verse 8, we're a bit now. For if Jesus had given them rest, this Jesus here is Joshua, not Jesus Christ. This is Jesus is the Greek form of the Hebrew word Joshua. So the Hebrew writer uses the Hebrew word, the Greek form of it, which is Jesus, but it's really Joshua. For if Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? What did he say? There remained therefore a rest to the people of God. There is a rest to the people of God. Verse 10, for he that is entered into his rest, he that entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from him. Back to creation, where God rested on the seventh day. When we enter into this rest, it's after we cease, it's after we finish doing everything we do, God has told us to do while we're living in this life. We enter into a rest after we or we enter into a rest after Jesus come back. So, believers in Christ who obey the word of God, it will profit you that you can enter into that rest, that hope of a promised rest, a rest that will only come to those who believe, only those who believe and obey the word of God. The word of God will not profit anyone that do not believe it. That person is considered an unbeliever. We'll see that. Hebrew writer says, now that we understand that, we can't enter into rest. Verse 11, he said, let us therefore to enter into that rest, let us labor therefore rather, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example, notice this, of what? Unbelief. Labor, working in the kingdom for the cause of Christ. Work therefore. Work because there is a rest. Labor to enter into, do everything to you can to get to heaven so you can rest, so you can enter into that rest. Whatever God says for us to do in his word, here's where we got to come from this lesson. You got to believe it and do it. Just like we saw in Moses, you got to believe it and you got to do what he said do. Why? Our whole effort to labor is to labor to get to heaven. I know you're on the call today because you want to go to heaven. You wouldn't be listening to me if you're not trying to go to heaven. We're trying to get to heaven. We're trying to get to that land of milk and honey, that as the children of Israel is trying to get to the promised land. For us, it's heaven. The Hebrew writer said, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. See, when we don't do what the Bible says, we will fall short of the promised land of rest. When we don't do what the Bible says, we'll fall after the same example of those people in the wilderness that didn't get to go to the promised land, just like the children of Israel. Why should we do what the word of God says? Becomes the question. So why do we do what the Bible says? Why are we so strict? Some will call people in churches cry. We're strict. Yes, we are. But can't you see from here that you better be strict? You better know that what God said, do it. It will profit you only if you believe that God meant what he said. I believe he meant it. You believe he meant it, then you do what he said, right down to being baptized, becoming a member of church, living faithful, repenting when you have to, confessing when you have to, confessing your faults one to another. All these things go. Serving the Lord, walking in the light as he's in the light, maintaining a fellowship with him, continuing to stay in services, worshiping him every Sunday, taking the Lord's Supper every Sunday, allowing the word of God to rebuke you, tell you when you're wrong, and we're going to see that. The Bible is given to us by God. It is his word. It is for our benefit. It's for our profit. It's to our advantage. That's what Hebrew writer says in verse 12. Listen what he says what the word of God is. The word of God is quick and means alive. Powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. Thoughts and intent of the heart. Now look at the Word of God. Just break this verse down. It starts out talking about the Word of God itself. It's live. It's from God. God gave the Word. It came from God. The Holy Spirit guided the writers to write it. It's alive. It's from God. It's real. It's not a fairy tale. The Word of God is powerful. It's going to do what it's supposed to do. It's going to penetrate our mind, our hearts. It's sharp, like a penetrating, powerful as a two-edged sword. It's penetrating. The Word of God pierces the soul and the spirit, spiritual, physical. It takes care of our spiritual life. It can also take care of our while we're living in the spirit. When the spirit separates from God, that's life. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 7. The soul lives on. So it gives us what we need in this life and eternal life. The Word of God, it says, is the dividing asunder, divides the joint and marrow, the physical. Again, the Word of God discerns thoughts and intents of your mind, your heart. So it deals with the spiritual, the Word of God deals with the physical, and it deals with the mental. The Word of God deals with our whole man, body, spirit, and soul. In other words, the Word of God will expose you in your heart for the kind of person you are. And when you get hit with it, your conscience will kick in. And if you're guilty, you'll start making moves to try to prove you're not guilty. Because you know. You know that you are guilty. And your conscience will start accusing you that you are guilty and in violation of what God's word has said. Many people in the church and outside the church do not want you to personally use scripture on them because the Word of God is so powerful. It will send them into a rabbit hole. It will send them into a state of a guilty conscience. Many don't want to hear the sermon, or at some point, sermon becomes uncomfortable because the Word of God is doing its job. It's going into your heart. It's discerning your thoughts and your intents. See, the Word of God will expose each of us for who we really are in the eyesight of God. If nothing else, I've come to conclusion on in my ministry is that this book can tell you more about yourself if you just listen to it. Just listen to what it's teaching you about you. Most people pay more attention to what other people are doing rather than to themselves. The Word of God is a mirror that you can look in and it will expose every dirty part of your face. It will expose everything that you think. God sees every thought. The word, his word becomes a seed that can be planted in your heart, which is your mind, and it'll grow. On a good and honest heart, it will produce fruit. This prophet knows. It's Luke chapter 8, 11 following verses. It's a mirror, James said in James 1. 23 to 25. In Jeremiah 23:29, it calls it, the Word of God is a fire, a hammer. So what are we saying? We're looking here at the purpose of the Word of God. Although tempted, all scriptures given by the inspiration of God. And profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction. Verse 16. All Scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16, is given by inspiration. That's the breath of God, God breathing. Here's the prophet. Doctrine. That's what you must be taught. If you listen to, if you want to be saved, you must know what teaching, the doctrine of Christ in the New Testament, it's called the doctrine of Christ, the teachings that God wants you to do. Then for reproof, for correction, anything that convicts, proof, or evidence is reproof. It gives you evidence of your wrong. If you use the Bible, say you're wrong. I can show you in the Bible, and the Bible will tell you you're wrong. Now, you got to believe it for it to help you. And then the next thing you have to do is correct you. The Word of God is powerful enough to make a correction in your life, to cause that correction. And then it gives you the instructions how to stay right in the sight of God. I think we can see where the Hebrew writer is going here. Is that, man, we better believe that this book is right. We better believe every word of God is there for the purpose of saving our soul and benefiting us, to profit us, that in the end, we can enter into that rest. So it took some time right there in that verse 12 of Hebrew 4, where the Word of God deals with us. The older we get, y'all, the more we should focus on what this book tells us to do. You know, you ain't got a lot of time to play around and play games and go around playing games with people. I definitely don't have that time in my life no more. You grow past some of this stuff. You just see foolishness and childish stuff, behaviors that are not godly, ungodly behaviors in the church. We have to deal with those. Those matters got to be dealt with. Individuals will be lost because if we believe the Bible is right, then it profits us when we deal with everything that's going on in a person's life. Where they're right, that's good. The Bible identifies right. It identifies wrong. It identifies when you need to be corrected. It identifies when you need instructions. So that's what we should be doing with the Word of God. First of all, looking at those things for ourselves, and then as a preacher of the gospel, I got to be able to share this word with you, and you have to be able to obey it. Now, you understand that no one can make you obey, no one can make me obey. This is an individual choice. But you can rebel and fight all you want to, but your fight ain't with Brother Brooks. Your fight is not with me. You're wasting your time trying to fight with me over something. Or you're upset with me about something. I'm not your problem. I won't be your problem. The problem for people who get to heaven, they won't get to heaven and don't want to do what's right or don't want to be obedient. The problem is not man. We don't fight against flesh and blood, you all. The problem is going to be that you got to deal with God. See, you got to deal with God. We all got to deal with God. You know, we got to, and then if we are going to go to heaven, we're going to have to put on the whole armor of God. Because the devil knows, he knows just what I'm teaching. That if we don't believe this book, we're not going. It's one thing I said last week. We've done a poor job on church discipline, just letting people get away with stuff. Well, I'm putting the record, I'm putting it out there. That's something I'm planning on doing better. Is not letting anyone get away with just whatever they want to do. Because my soul is at stake. Sweeping stuff under the rug, letting people go on and sin and not address it, not taking people before the church like we should be, not going one-on-one, then going a second time, then going a third time before the church. We've not just highlight, we've done a poor job in the churches of Christ on discipline. That's one of the things I'm bound to be better at. To really work on doing some lessons on what church discipline should be, and then I'm going to enforce it by going to these people, or people who are causing problems, or people who are doing things that are contrary to the word of God, we got to hold them accountable and do it the way God told us to do it. Let the record be clear. That's something I'm really going to work on. So fair warning to everyone. Don't start with any person. Everybody needs to understand this. This has to happen. Or we're going to lose our souls. Letting people just get away with whatever they want to do. Can't do it. The word of God is here for us to be instructed in what to do. It's also used to discipline. The word of God is a sword. It pierces. It's intended to work. And we have to respect it as the word of God. And the word of God must be obeyed. And you know, nobody on the call is exempt. Brother Brooks, I got to be held accountable just like everybody else. Nobody exempt. From the front, from the pulpit to the back door. Right down to the janitor, if you want to see ranks, think about it like that. We all got to do it. We trying to get to heaven, then we see ourselves wrong. We should have to have someone to come to us and tell us, you know you're wrong. You got to repent. You know you're not going to get to heaven. Jesus said in Luke 13:3-5, tell your neighbor, except you repent. Y'all shall likewise perish. The Lord, he's not slack, you all, concerning his promises. Some men count slackness. He's long-suffering towards the world, not willing that any of us should perish. All come to repentance. That's something we got to understand. So the fight is not with Brother Brooks. The fight is between you and God. And the devil don't want you to win because Paul said in Ephesians 6:12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's our fight. Then he said, take on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day. Verse 13. Having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. That's what he said. You got to have the truth in order to get to heaven. You got to do it the way God taught us. And we're going to have to obey it the way God said, do it. It's why it's true. And the truth will set you free. That's what the Bible is teaching us. And we need to continue to do it and stay with the word of God and let it do its job and do our job by obeying it. Now, go back to Hebrews in verse 13. He said, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. Hebrews 4:13. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him in whom we have to do. Notice this. You start talking about the word of God. Look what the Hebrew writer is saying. None of us, no creature. We were creatures. He was the creator. Everything that you and I do and think, and that's scary, is naked and exposed before God. You ever talk about some of the thoughts that just go through your mind, they come out of nowhere? You have these thoughts. Do you understand everything you think? Everything you're thinking right now. Perhaps you don't even like that, the fact that I said something about discipline. Because you've been getting away with a bunch of stuff. And now Brother Brooks coming down. Well, we all got to come down. We better come down ourselves first. That's what we best do. But if you're thinking something about it, what he's saying is that the Hebrew writer is saying there's nothing covered up. It's open unto the eyes of him to whom we have to do. The thoughts that you have, you have to face God. The Bible, the word of God, lets us know that God knows everything about us. Right down to the hairs on our head, maybe numbered. This is why some people want you. You know, they talk about, boy, that's a 45, that's a long sermon. That's a lot of cutting going on. See, you know, like one lady told me in Arkansas, I said, the shoe fit, wear it. She told me, Brother Brooks, she's like 80-something years old. She said, you know, the shoe fit sometimes, it get tight, and sure do hurt when you be preaching. I said, I understand what she was saying. She understood it. even her age, when I was talking about it, when I was talking about what we should be doing, that shoe get fit, that shoe fit on your feet when it's your time. Some things you don't have to deal with. Some things you hear preaching, it don't bother you. Some things that I preach are going to bother you because your conscience is still working. It's bothering you because you know you're guilty. You know you're guilty. It's like this discipline thing. You know you done got away with a whole lot of stuff. And they say, well, he tightened up. Why? Well, why not? It's time. Should have done tighten up. People dying. People are dying every day. Dying in their sin. We can't just continue to do that. We gotta try to deal with whatever comes up and try to save each other. We all hold each other accountable, making sure we do everything we can. Because if we don't, we're going to fall into this group of people. The Bible didn't even profit us. The Word of God preached didn't help us because we didn't obey it or we didn't follow through doing what he told us to do. People are being cut and exposed. It hurts. It hurt in a good way, though. The Word of God is sharp. It'll cut out sin in your life. It'll cut out the wrong. It'll cut out things that will cause us to miss heaven. And that's a good pain in closing. In chapter 4, verse 14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Verse 15, for we have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet we're not sinned. Let us therefore come boldly into the grace of God, under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. So, of course, is anyone tired of just fighting this fight of sin? Well, it's going to be an ongoing fight. There may be trouble at it, but we got to go back and look at the one who is our high priest, Jesus. I recommend Jesus to you it's a fight. If you're troubled, you're going through some things, you're tired of sin, you're fighting. You see, Jesus knows as a high priest what our weaknesses are, our infirmities. All of us need mercy, of course. All of us need grace, of course. Yes, we do. But understand this. Having grace and mercy does not give us a reason to continue in sin. That's what the Romans taught. And Paul told them in Romans 6:1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Notice the second verse, resounded answer. God forbid. No. So the problem that would cause many to be lost is continuing to do sinful things, willfully sinful things. See, grace and mercy is good for us because we got things we do, word, thoughts, and deeds. There's a sin called a willful sin. You know what you did is wrong. You haven't repented. You haven't made your confession. You haven't went before the church. You know you're wrong. And you continue to do the same thing over and over and over. And you think, well, grace of God got me. No, the grace of God not going to get you there. You can't willfully sin and keep doing what you know to be wrong and then be saved. That makes the Word of God of no effect. The Word of God would not profit you if you don't see the need to repent, the need to confess, the need to be baptized for the remission of your sins if you have not been baptized. Why? You're trying to get to that place called the rest, that place called heaven. And when to get to the place called heaven, not that you don't have flesh weaknesses. You got the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That all comes with it. Jesus died without doing no sin. What he did was gave us a chance to become obedient to him through the preached word. That's why he gave the command to go preach it. We ought to preach the word. The hearer must hear the word, but they can't be just hearers only. They must hear and do. That's called obedience. You got to hear it and then obey it. You got to hear it, believe it, and obey it. You hear it, you believe it, you obey it. Say it again. If you hear it, you believe it, then you obey it. That's what we're talking about. people are going to lose their soul. We're here, don't believe, and they won't obey. That's going to cause you to lose your soul. Why? The word of God did not profit you. It did not profit you. So you won't get to enter into that rest. But the rest that we're talking about is heaven. John said in Revelation 14, verse 13, I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, said the Spirit, they may rest. There it is right there. There's your verse, Revelation 14, 13. There's a permanent rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Everything's going to judgment. So Jesus is calling this morning. Come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's that rest again. That's that permanent rest right there. See, it's clear to me what the Bible is teaching you is the word of God, is the instructions to heaven. Some said basic instructions, B-I-B-L-A, basic instructions before life ends. I don't basic instructions, yes, but it must be obedient. And the only person going to obey the Bible is a believer. So I'll say it like this. Believer's instructions before life ends. It would profit only those who believe it. Now, this question I have this morning is that are you on the call and you're not a member of the Church of Christ? Let me share with you what you must do and what you must believe. You must believe that the Bible is right first. If you say, I believe all the Bible is right, then now you believe that. You got to believe John 3:16, that God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son. That's Jesus. You got to believe that the Bible teaches how Jesus came to the world, lived among men without sin, did a lot of great things, wonderful works, saving people, feeding the hungry, doing all kinds of things. Came the great physician. Never lost a case. He healed the blind, he healed the sick, he fed the hungry, he did all those great things. No sin was found in him. But in the last 24 hours of his life, he was treated as a death row inmate, had his last supper with his apostle, cried in the Garden of Gethsemane. There he was crying because he knew he had to go to the guard, to the cross. Stood before Pilate, Sanhedrin court, Pharisees, the scribes. The people said, crucify him. Pilate said he found no fault with him. You got to believe that. You wouldn't dare hear Pilate say that. You got to believe it because it's in the book. Pilate said he found no fault with him. He said, what y'all want me to do with him? They said, crucify him. Now you got to believe the people said it. You wasn't there. You got to believe that because it's ready. You got to believe that Pilate scourged him with a whip. You never saw that with your eyes. It's in this book. In this book, they scourged. That means they whipped him with a whip. And then you got to believe that they put a crown of thorns in his head. Something you didn't see. But it's in this book, the word of God. Then you got to believe they spit on him and mocked him. You got to believe he was doing all this for you. He was in pain. He tried to carry the tree of his cross, of the cross to Calvary. He couldn't make it. He had to have some help. You got to believe that. You never saw Jesus carrying no tree on his back. Then when they got him up there, you got to believe that they took them nails and drove him in his hands and his feet. Why are you believing that? Because that's in the word of God. Now that's going to benefit you or profit you if you actually believe it. Now you got to believe he hung on the cross 6 long hours. And you got to believe on that cross he was dying for your sins in order for it to help you. You got to believe that Jesus said in John 8:21, if you die, your sins where I am, you cannot come. You got to believe you can't go to heaven if you don't get your sins forgiven. You got to believe he died on that cross, that he died and shed his blood there, Revelation 1:5, and that blood will wash your sins away, Acts 22:16. When does the blood wash your sins away? Well, Jesus gave the command in Mark 16:15-16 to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That gospel is what I just taught you, that suffering Savior, death, how he died, then he buried, and then he resurrected. He suffered for you. That blood that he shed on the cross will wash your sins away. He said he that believe it and is baptized. So his baptism is when you contact the blood. And you got to believe that blood is in the water. You ain't going to see no blood in there. You get baptized. You got to believe because the Bible says that blood is going to wash away your sin. That's what you got to believe. And then if you believe that, then you'll get baptized. Well, because that's what the Word of God told you. It will profit you. You'll get baptized. And you'll believe, according to Acts 2:38, that the baptism is for the remission or the forgiveness of your sins. You'll believe 1 Peter 3:21, where it says baptism saves us. And you'll believe Acts 2:47, where it says the saved were added to the church. So when you're baptized, your sins are washed away. Then you're added to the church. And if you're a believer in this book, you'll believe there's one body, Ephesians 4:4. And you'll believe that body is the church, Ephesians 1:22. You'll believe in one God, one Jesus, one Holy Spirit, one hope, one body, the church. The church, which church is it? This is the one you would believe if you believe in this book. Romans 16:16 says, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. That's the only one in the book. The only church to say the end is in the church of Christ. So that's where I don't believe. Well, that makes you an unbeliever. And the Word of God won't ever profit you. Because you'll believe, see, Christians are in all churches. You'll believe that. And you have a right to believe whatever you want. But this lesson is teaching us that there's a lot of people in the wilderness that God left them out there to die in that wilderness. We're in the wilderness called the world. Don't die in your sins, because you won't get to go to heaven. And the only chance we have is by believing the Bible. So I say it's a hard thing. No, well, it's very simple. You either believe or you don't believe. Many people don't believe the Bible. But the question is, are you on the call this morning because you're in a place where you need God and you're ready to obey Him? Well, just be a believer in the Word of God. And you won't have no problem with anything I've said today. You'll just obey. How do you do that, brother? Well, it's five steps. Number one, you've heard the gospel, Acts 15 and verse 7. Number two, you got to believe it. Same verse. Hear the word of the gospel, believe. Number three, you got to repent. Luke 13:3-5. Jesus said, I tell your neighbor, except you repent, you're going to perish. That's what he said. Repentance means you got to make your decision up this morning. You know what, brother? My life has been a life of nothing but sin, living a certain way. I'm ready to get my life together. But then it's time for you to repent. So you know what? I don't want to live like this no more. And he said, what you do after that? You got to make a confession. What confession you must make? That you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Acts 8:37. And after that, you make that confession. Jesus said this, you confess me before me and I confess you before my Father. Once you make that confession, we have to carry out the command to be baptized. You have to render your body and let us baptize you. Believe when you go down that water, everything you ever done is going to be forgiven and washed away by the blood of Jesus. It happens in baptism. Now, if you don't believe it, you get in the water, you just get wet. But if you believe it, you'll come up with a clear conscience. It's an answer to a good conscience toward God. It'll clear your conscience of everything you ever done wrong, and you have a chance to live for God and stay in the light because you're going to need Him all the way to heaven. So you hear it, you believe it, repent of your sin, confess Jesus to be the Son of God, and be baptized. Then the Lord will add you to one church, the Church of Christ. And in the church, the sixth step, you must live faithful, for which we've been talking about this morning. You can't just get in and live any kind of way you want to live. You got to live faithful. Unto them. I mean, faithful to what your relationship is with God and to His commands. Then to members of the church, they've been on call this morning, let the Word of God profit you. Stop pointing fingers, blaming people, blaming God. Don't try to wiggle your way out of trouble. Just confess it. Make your sin, make it known that you need to confess your fault to someone, ask for forgiveness, work out your soul salvation. In fear, and trembling. So members of the church who know the Bible, who believe the Bible, will have no problem with nothing I've said today. It's people that are going to have a problem with this, with what I've said. It's people who don't believe the Bible. If you believe the Bible, it will convict you. It will accuse you that you are wrong and what you've done. It will also excuse you when you're doing right. Your conscience will be clear. And you'll be okay with the Lord. That's how you want to live, with a clear conscience. So make your confession this morning if you need to. Ask for prayers if you need to. Whatever you need to do. You want to get baptized, you hit 5-star on your phone, and we will help you. If you believe in the Bible, it will profit you this morning. Let it profit you. And let us know you want to get baptized, and we will help you this morning. Just let us know. Hit 5-star. That's to the visitor who may not be a member of Church of Christ. If you want further studies, hit the 5-star. Let us know. We'll study with you. And members of the church, members of the Church of Christ, those who want to call, remember, there's no such thing as once you're saved, you're always saved. No. You got to live right. You got to repent. You have to confess. And we have to help restore. Galatians 6:1. Some brother get overtaken in a fall. He said, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in spirit and being consider yourself. So we don't look down on nobody else. So everybody need to think about, if I'm down, I want somebody to come get me. If you're down, we're trying to come get you. But nobody can force you to get up. You got to want to get up and try it again. Get up and try to live this life again. So at this time, we'll have an invitation song. If you have a need or spiritual need that we can assist you with baptism, confession, or prayer request, go ahead and do that as we sing the song of the Creed.